Hallelujah. Amen. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon all of us. Amen. He's poured out his glory upon us. He's risen upon us. Let's take his glory everywhere. We'll be looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John today. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your awesome word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is God. Father, we thank you that as we look at these incredible statements, the I am statements that Jesus made to declare that he is God, that he is one, equal with you, Father, eternal with you, that the Holy Spirit would teach us to help us understand all the I am statements for his, your glory, for your honor. We truly believe that he is God, but it's an important, there's so much that you wanted to reveal to us through these names that Jesus chose to say, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every time he uses I am, he's declaring that he is God in the flesh. So we thank you and praise you. Let us just have a great time with you. Lead us, guide us, Holy Spirit. You're the one who teaches us. In the word of God, speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The seven I am statements of Jesus. Of course, Jesus said many significant, awesome words for us that are recorded in all the Gospels. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven statements beginning with the words, I am. Each of these I am proclamations helps us better understand Jesus' ministry in our own lives, and especially what he intended to do in the world through these statements. They also link Jesus to the Old Testament revelation of God. We know in the Old Testament that God revealed his name to Moses. Moses saw the burning bush that was not consumed. God said, I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That's in Exodus 3:14. So we know that in Judaism, I am is unquestionably understood as the name of God, as a name for God. There were many other names that came along in the Old Testament that we're familiar with for Jehovah. You know, there was Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So there were always different names that describe God's character, who he is, what he does, what he provides, how he protects. It just teaches us about him. Whenever Jesus made an I am statement in which he claimed the attributes of deity, he was identifying himself as God manifest in the flesh and equal to the Father in every way. So here are the seven metaphorical I am statements that are found in Jesus's gospel or John's gospel. We're going to start with John 6, verses 48 to 51, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now remember, he had just fed 5,000 people with the loaves and fishes, right? But for some reason, that wasn't a strong enough miracle for them to really believe that he was God or that he was the Messiah. Why? Because we know that they asked him, the people there and the religious leaders said, well, look, you took a few loaves of bread and fishes and you broke them apart and you fed us all. Like, that wasn't enough, right? But can you send us a sign from heaven? Can you send like manna from heaven like God did in the wilderness? Can you do that for us? It's like, right? That's what they were always asking him to prove himself. And that's when Jesus said to them, look, I'm the bread of life. Yes, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. And then Jesus declares, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The religious leaders frequently asked Jesus to prove to them that he was better than the prophets they already had. Jesus here referred to the manna that Moses had given to their ancestors in the wilderness. But this bread was only physical and temporal. It would only satisfy their temporal needs, only sustain them physically. The people ate it. It sustained them for a day. But guess what? They had to get more bread every day, and that bread could not keep them from dying. Jesus tells them, I'm much greater than Moses. I offer you myself as the spiritual bread from heaven that satisfies you completely, sustains your spiritual life completely, but also gives you eternal life. Then John 10:12. Jesus said, is that John 10:12? I'm sorry, John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is very awesome because Jesus spoke this during the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know that the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the feasts where all the Jewish men had to go back to Jerusalem. There was Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody had to be present in Jerusalem. Well, in the temple, especially in the treasury in Jerusalem, they had these huge candelabras on these big pillars that would send out enormous amounts of light to light the whole temple and light the whole treasury. And it's right there in that setting that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the Feast of Tabernacles is all about the Israelites traveling through the wilderness. And so what those pillars really represent, the light that they represent, was what? The pillar of fire that went before the Israelites to light their way, to guide them, to give them guidance and direction and protection. And that's where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So, you know, many of these statements were particularly given to the first century Jewish people that Jesus was ministering to, and they would have understood the context and what he was saying, all of these. So that's why I'm giving you the context of the Feast of Tabernacles. The pillars, again, symbolize the pillar of fire that led the people of Israel through the wilderness. Jesus called himself the light of the world. The pillar of fire represented what? God's presence, protection, and guidance. In the same way, Jesus is saying, I am God. I can give you and bring you into God's presence, protection, and guidance for your lives. Because apart from him, there is no protection from the darkness of sin, no guidance along the way of life and with his presence. And there's no knowledge about the real meaning of life, and especially the issues of eternal life and eternity. Without him, there would be no guidance. There would be no light, no understanding at all about those things. Jesus promised that anyone following him would not walk in darkness, but what? Has the light of life. We have the light of life. We walk in the light of life. Aren't you glad in a time when the world is so filled with darkness that we don't have to walk in that darkness, but we get to walk in the light of life? Right? We're not walking in death. We're not in the shadow of death. We're walking in his light. What does it say? It says in Colossians that he transformed us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us right into the kingdom of his son. And he says in 1 John, we were once darkness, not in darkness, but we were once darkness. But now we are what? Children of light. Amen. Thank God for his light, that Jesus is the light of the world, that he's the light of our world. just like the Israelites followed the pillar of fire through the wilderness. When we make Jesus the Lord of our life, that's what he's talking about when we follow. If you follow me, he's not just talking about following a couple of his teachings. Oh, I'll do a couple of these things that Jesus taught. But when he says follow me, it means we're making him Lord of our life, completely surrendering our will and our life to him. He rules and reigns over every part of our life. That's what it means to follow him. And when we do that, he promises that the true light of the world that he gives us, we'll have his presence always, his protection always, his guidance in our lives. So we can avoid, first of all, falling into sin and the snares of the devil. He lights the path ahead of us so we can see how to live victorious lives for him. The next one is John 10, verses 7 and 9 through 9. Where Jesus says, I am the door. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ declares, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There are many religions, each promising to be the door to the afterlife. There's only one entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Only one door. Salvation can only be received through Jesus Christ. We must enter by Christ and by the power which he gives. The invitation is for everyone, though, and for anyone. Christ is the Savior of the Jews and Gentiles alike. But to be saved, a person must enter in. We must receive him by faith, which is a personal act, and without it, there is no salvation. Those who do enter in, though, are saved from the penalty, the power, and eventually the presence of sin. Hallelujah. Then in John 10:10, talking about the thieves, Jesus said what? The thieves only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. Not just life, but abundant life. Satisfying life. God life. The only life that truly satisfies is Zoe life. The life of God. Jesus is the only one who can give us that. He's the only one who can put the life of God into us. Amen? Then John 10:11, Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, usually it was the other way around. The sheep gave their life for the shepherd or the person, at least as far as the sacrifices are concerned, right? The sheep would die for the to make atonement for the sins, to be sacrificed for our sins. But Jesus said, I give my life for the sheep. Psalm 23, one of our favorite psalms. Centuries earlier, David referred to what? The Lord God as his shepherd. And now the Lord shepherd had become flesh. In this passage, Jesus refers to himself as the ultimate good shepherd, who was about to give his life for his sheep to fulfill his Father's plan of salvation for all people. If you were to take Psalm 23 and apply it to Jesus now, it might sound a little bit like this. Jesus, who is not just the good shepherd, but the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20, I believe, actually says he's the great shepherd of the sheep that God raised from the dead, who signed the everlasting covenant with his blood. So Psalm 23 would sound like this, applied to Jesus. Jesus, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, takes away the want of the covetous human heart. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, you couldn't really do that anymore if you weren't born again and Jesus hadn't taken that away from you. How many of you remember before you were born again? You coveted everything. I want, I want, I want. But from the time you're a child, I want, I want, I want. right? But Jesus, the great shepherd, takes that covetous human heart away. He is the path of righteousness. He is the one who brought light to the valley of the shadow of death, so I don't have to fear death or evil anymore. He is the bread of life that placed by God on the table in the presence of our enemies. And now heaven's cup overflows and has brought forth the goodness and mercy of God to us. Why? So that through Jesus we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Of course, we know that Jesus made this statement to Martha, Lazarus' sister. But then guess what? Jesus didn't just make this statement. He backed his words up. He went to the tomb and he commanded Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth out of the tomb. He raised Lazarus from the dead, because he is the resurrection and the life. The two words together mean that he is the power which opens every grave, gives life to the dead, and calls them forth to a new existence. He is the power, the resurrection power. He is the power of life. And we know that he proved it even further when he raised himself from the dead, just as the scriptures said that he would die for our sins, he would be buried, and the third day he raised from the dead. Remember, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay my life down, and I can raise it up again. He is the resurrection and the life. And we know that he proved that because 1 Corinthians 15:55 tells us that death no longer holds its sting. Death, oh death, where is your victory? You have no sting anymore. Praise God, Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. All of us who now are in Christ will live forever. We're promised that just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead because he is the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you remember the scenario and what was going on during this time, this is where Jesus had just told them, look, I'm going away, got to go to the Father's house, but I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back. I wouldn't tell you that I'm coming back. I won't leave you orphans. I wouldn't tell you that I'm coming back if I really didn't mean it. I'm coming back for you. I'll come back to get you. But then he said, and you know the way. And then Thomas, you know, he's talking to the disciples, and then Thomas, all the other disciples are thinking this, and Thomas finally asks him what all of them were thinking. Lord, we do not know where you're going, and well, how can we know the way? We really don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And that's when Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was reiterating that all roads, all religions do not lead to heaven. There are not many paths or religions to God. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness, the only source of truth and knowledge about God, and the only route to eternal life, the only way. Jesus offers to spiritually dead people the very life of God. And there are no other options. This statement was significant to those of his day who were trying to gain access to God's favor. How? Through the law and their good works. Well, guess what? Many, many people today still believe that they can get into God's presence. They can get into heaven. They can earn God's favor by keeping the law and doing good works. Right, Marilyn? If you go out and use the way of the master, which teaches you to ask people what they believe will get them into heaven, 95% of the people will tell you, it's because I'm a good person and because I do good things. I keep the law. I keep the Ten Commandments. They'll tell you all of those things, that that's how they're going to get into heaven. significant to us because we're surrounded by many beliefs and religions claiming access to God and a way to earn God's favor and eternal life apart from Jesus alone, which is always what we're trying to get people to answer and make sure they know that they're reliant in Christ alone. They're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? The ladies in the Wednesday Bible study have been watching a lot of videos about false religions, about Islam, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. And guess what's interesting about all those videos and all those religions? You know what they teach you? They don't deny Jesus. They don't deny that Jesus was a great teacher. They don't deny that he was a miracle worker. They don't even deny that he died on the cross and that he was a savior. But do you know what they deny? That he is God. How important is it that people believe that Jesus is God? Well, I'll give you Jesus' own words. John 8, verses 21 through 24. These are Jesus' words about why you must believe that he is God. John 8, 21. Therefore he said again to them, I'm going away, and you'll be looking for me, and you will die under the curse of your sin. Where I'm going, it is not possible for you to come. At this, the Jews began to ask among themselves, well, is he going to kill himself? Is that what he's saying? Where I'm going, it's not possible for you to come. He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, this earthly order. I'm not of this world. Verse 24. That is why I told you that you will die in or under the curse of your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he who I claim to be, if you do not adhere to and trust in and rely on me, you will die in your sins. It's interesting that one person that a couple of the people were witnessing to out in the streets on Friday night, just as I said, believe God, believe Jesus was a great teacher, he was a prophet, he was a miracle worker, he even died on the cross, but he said, I do not believe that he is God. It's a number one trick of the enemy, just like he's always used, that they just will not believe what God says about who he is. And we have to make sure that people really believe that and know that. Amen? That's why it's important to know that. Then one more I am statement from Jesus, which is very important to us. John 15, verses 1 through 5. Actually, I'm only going to read verses 1 and verse 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said this to the disciples, to his followers in the upper room on the night of his arrest and impending death. Again, in the context of the Old Testament to the early Jewish people that he was speaking to, the first century Jews, the Old Testament contained many references to Israel as what? They were God's vine. But because of the nation's unfruitfulness, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan. He taught us that by abiding in or dwelling in him, which means, you know, think of a vine. We're attached to him. We attach ourselves to him. We abide in him. We dwell in him. That it will enable his life. When you're attached to him, if you attach to the vine, it enables what? His life to flow in and through us. That way, we cannot help but bear fruit, good fruit for him that will honor the Father. He also teaches that he is the gardener, and in him and in his nurturing, tending, and pruning, that we can grow to our potential and bear much fruit. Jesus was simply saying, stick close to me, attach yourself to me while you abide in me, to accomplish much for my Father's glory. And you will accomplish much for my Father's glory. So why are Jesus' I am statements important? Well, Jesus wasn't just exercising positive self-talk when he made these bold statements. Whenever Jesus made an I am statement, we know, in which he declaimed the attributes of deity, he was identifying himself as God manifest in the flesh. The second person of the Godhead, an equal to the Father in every way. Jesus knew who he was, and he wanted us to clearly know who he was and who he is too. I believe I heard Kathy even say a word this morning. Teach us who you really are, or something like that, was something that came forth today. He wanted to reveal himself to us in a special way through these seven I am statements. And he has, and he does. And he wants us to be able to reveal who he is to others, especially that he is God in the flesh. Jesus wanted us to know that he alone sustains our spiritual life as the bread of life. So feed on him continually. Don't feed on a bunch of other stuff. Bunch of other teachings that really don't have anything to do with Jesus. Who do we need to be feeding on? Jesus and his teachings, his words, constantly feeding on him. He wants us to know he's the light of our world. And as he promised, if we follow him, we don't have to walk in darkness. But we get to walk in his marvelous light of life. Jesus wanted us to know in our hearts and confess with our mouth that he is our great shepherd who is always directing and protecting us and guiding us. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father except through him. And he wants us to tell everybody. He wants everyone to know he's the only way to heaven. That he is the resurrection and the life. He's given us victory over death, hell, and the grave. That he's given us access to the Father, and he's the only one who grants the gift of eternal life with the forgiveness of sins. And that he is the true vine. As the vine, he wants us to attach ourselves to him. Stay close to him. Not just stay close, but stay clung to him. Attach ourselves and never let go of him. Enable his life to flow in and through us. Amen. So that we can bear fruit, much fruit, that will honor our Father and bring glory to him. And Jesus said in John, also chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he said these things. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. Verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Father, we love you and praise you. Holy Spirit, just burn these words deep into our hearts. Burn the teachings of Jesus. We believe. We totally believe that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, the Anointed One, that we, by believing in these things, we have God life in his name and through his name. Help us, Lord, to know more and more, to understand your teachings. Let your words dwell deep within us. Abide in us. Let us abide in you. Let us live in accordance with your words, because we truly are your disciples. Because, Lord, we know that when we know the truth about you, when we're rooted and grounded in the truth of who you are, that, Lord, we can live free and victorious like never before. So we thank you for these great, amazing I am statements. Use them, Lord, to bless our lives. Let us know the significance of them for our lives and for the lives of others in our sphere of influence. Help us to be able to declare boldly and clearly through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're not only a great man, a great prophet, a great teacher, a miracle worker, and the Savior, but that you are God in the flesh. Because it's important. Because the devil has come up with many, many. Jesus, you said in Matthew or in John chapter 8, or no, or 10, that you were the door, that many thieves had come before that. Well, many thieves and robbers are now come after you've come. And they try to lie to so many people and teach them that you're not God. They teach them that you're everything else that we talked about. But they say, yo, he's not God. Why? Because all they want to do is steal, kill, and destroy the souls of those people. But we're here to tell people that you are God. That Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God, and he is God the Son. So that they can be set free. So that they can come in to the eternal Zoe life of God that only you can give them. So help us to use everything that we learn, not only just for our own benefit, but for the benefits of all those in the world that don't know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.